This is Lynn Hughes. I'm about to interview Sylvia Hilliard, who lives in Copeland, Kansas. Today is November the 19th, 2018. Sylvia, you are 101 years old.
Yes.
How long have you lived in Copeland?
Oh, well, let's see. About 91 years.
91 of that 101. Where else have you lived?
I got married in 1935 in December, and we lived in Ashland, Kansas, 7 years.
Okay.
And that was from 1935 to 1942, when my husband Cliff was drafted to the Army.
Was he drafted then for World War II?
Yeah. Uh-huh. He left in December of 42 for basic training in Fort Warren, Wyoming.
In where?
Wyoming.
Wyoming?
At Fort Warren, Wyoming.
Fort Warren, okay.
Uh-huh.
And then
after probably in eight months, he was given an honorable discharge from the service in 1943 because of health problems.
Okay. So.
And we spent the next 6 months in Copeland, Kansas. And in 1944, in May of 1944, we moved to Dodge City, Kansas. He was employed at Roberts Tractor and Implement Company there. And we were there till 1946 and returned to Copeland. Beginning a new business for us, which was the restaurant business.
What was the name of the restaurant?
We called the restaurant C&S Cafe.
And that would be for both your names. Okay.
Uh-huh. And it was in the building now that is our American Legion building.
Okay, I know where that is.
And we operated there from March until December. In December, we bought property and had a new building built for our cafe.
You built your own cafe then?
Uh-huh.
Where was that?
It's just the building south of the restaurant here now.
Okay.
The one with Gary's insurance. It's okay. In that.
Okay. How long did you operate that business?
We continued to operate until August 1st of 1978.
Okay.
So it was 31 and one half years in for our business.
That's a long time. Were you cooking?
Everything. I did everything. Cook and made counter.
And wash dishes.
Made pies as well. No, I didn't wash too many dishes. My husband washed a lot of
good,
dishes.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad you had him.
And he was the fry cook.
Okay.
And, we did both. We had a fountain, and we served malts and milkshakes and sundaes and sodas, and our drinks were mixed, hand-mixed with syrup and carbonated water.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't bottled stuff.
Okay.
So
I'm sorry I never got to go to your restaurant.
Well, it was a small one. It was small.
What was the seating capacity?
Seating capacity was 18 stools in a kind of a horseshoe-shaped manner.
Okay.
You know, kind of...
Like a big
U-shape
kind of?
Yeah.
Is there a counter there that they were around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that we didn't have any booths or tables.
Okay, it was just
real compact. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're good. Well, what was the most favorite meal or dish at the restaurant, do you think?
Well, we prepared roast beef and roast pork every day.
Okay.
And I don't really know. We served chicken fried steak and other meals too.
And you made pies, you said.
Yes, I made pies.
What kind of pies did you have?
Apple and cherry and coconut cream and raisin cream and pumpkin and custard and.
Yeah. Did you get tired?
Well, you know, I never thought about it. Okay. I knew I had to do it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, you got physically tired.
Physically tired.
But no, you know, I stopped to think about it. Now, I don't think I ever got tired of it. I was weary, but I don't think I ever got weary physically. But
mentally with people coming in and talking to you made
we
you
were
feel
just,
good.
The whole community was one big happy family when we were in the cafe. And I think it's a lot that way today, too, but she has a bigger turnover of people now than what we had.
Okay.
And
okay.
So, but anyway, yeah, it was. No, I don't think I've, to be really honest, I don't think I ever got tired of it.
Were you raising children during this time, too, or did you have children?
Well, we had one son that was born in 1945. When we lived in Dodge, and then in 1947 he got real sick, and when we finally got him to the hospital, he'd had his little appendix had ruptured, and he didn't make it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So it
I'm
was,
sorry.
Yeah.
That's so hard. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
So, in fact, this may startle people. We had our living quarters in back of our cafe.
Oh, you were living there. What time did you open and what time did you close?
Well, I was usually up around 5:30 and put the meat and roasts into bacon, and we opened at 7.
Okay.
Got everything
breakfast,
ready for breakfast.
Breakfast,
and, yeah.
Lunch and...
And dinner.
Dinner,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the first 5 years, we were open on Sunday, too. And then... It became that we couldn't get help really that much on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
So we closed, and then on some Sunday afternoons we'd open at 4 o'clock and or 3 o'clock and just serve
just
drinks
dinner,
and stuff.
Drinks. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we did that for a while.
Yes. That was a big part of your life then, was that was a big part of
yes.
your life.
Yes. Oh yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
And then so you closed that in 78.
Then we moved to the house here. And then I think it was a year, maybe 2 years later, we sold our building, our restaurant building. And then in, what was it? I can't think for a minute. In 1981, my husband had a stroke. So we just lived a quiet life until 93 when he passed away. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was just here by myself. So the Christian church had a little organization going for children, a little thing. After school once a week on Wednesday afternoons, they called it the Joy Club.
Okay.
So they were serving him cookies and drink. So the ladies were having a hard time. He was just beginning to get it started, so they were having kind of a hard time getting somebody to bake cookies. So I said, let me bake cookies for you. I said, I haven't got anything to do.
And you were an experienced baker,
that
too.
That was my really enjoyable project for 10 years. I baked cookies for 10 years for Joy Club.
For that club.
So that was another project I had.
Mm-hmm. And then sometime during that time, you started writing for the Montezuma Press.
Yes, and then not until 1999, then I started writing for the press. Mm-hmm. So I've had three careers in 101 years.
Well, and that's good, because that's probably what keeps you young.
It kept me busy, and I really enjoyed it, too. Everything I did, I really enjoyed. Of course, there was ups and downs, and always in whatever you do.
Right, that's true. Just, now, when you were going to high school, you went to school in all the Copeland schools. But you were a teenager during the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl, weren't you? What was that like, living in Western Kansas that time?
You just did with what you had. You couldn't gain much, because there was just no money. Mm-hmm. And the dirt was terrible. But we survived.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot of people from Copeland left, because they didn't have to go find a way to make a living. Mm-hmm. They couldn't farm, The ones that stuck it out survived it, did okay. But my dad was a blacksmith, and he had a repair shop here in Copeland. And he could fix most anything. So there was no way we were going to leave.
Uh-huh.
And of course,
he had a livelihood. Yeah. He had a way
so
to make a living.
Mother tried to grow stuff as much as she could, and maybe was able to can a few things. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have a lot of everything, but we didn't go hungry. The government at that time sent in packages with staple stuff like flour and sugar and coffee and beans and dry beans
was there a name for that program that they did, or do
I can't
know?
Remember. I don't know if it was from the Red Cross or not.
Okay.
But the old gentleman that had our grocery store here, Mr. Alexander. This is kind of funny, and it's not funny. My dad was such a proud man, he wasn't going to accept it. So Mr. Alexander just brought it to the house and told my mother, said, "Just don't say anything to your husband about this, you just use it." Because it's for everybody. It's not for just certain people, it's for everybody. It's from the government, and it's free.
Okay. I've heard a lot of Dust Bowl stories and Depression stories, but I didn't know that there was anything like that.
Yeah, there was. Uh-huh. During the Depression and the, mm-hmm.
And then when you graduated, it was graduate from high school, mm-hmm. It was 1935, am I mm-hmm. right? And that would be in the middle of the Dust Bowl, in the middle of the Depression.
Well, it was kind of beginning to wind down that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a few, wasn't anything like it was in 1933 and 32.
I'd heard about stories like Black Sunday. And then you married not too long after just a few months after graduation.
Yeah, we eloped.
Oh, did you? Where'd you go?
Well, he was working in Ashland, mm-hmm. and he'd taken a job with a gentleman there in Ashland. So he was home over the weekend, so he was supposed to return on Monday, so in fact I had gone back to the high school for some courses after I graduated, and so he just come to the high school, we just went to meet and got married.
Wait, had he gone to high school with you? Is that how you knew him?
No. He was here. His family. Do you want to record this too?
Sure, if you don't mind.
His family moved here in 1912, the Hilliard family.
Okay.
And he was 2 years old when they moved here. And then in 1925, they moved to Iola, Kansas.
Okay.
He, for some reason or other, Mr. Hilliard wanted to move back to eastern Kansas, and I never did ever understand that, but it was his choice. So they went back there, and my husband graduated from high school
from
in Iola.
Okay.
So he was, Of course, he was 7 years older than me. He was a little older than I was.
Okay.
But we had a good marriage.
What did, in the Depression, when you would be dating, what did you do for fun and on a date in during the Great Depression?
A lot of times we just walked around in the evening, and then sometimes we'd go to a movie. We could go to a movie in Dodge City if we could find a car to take us.
Find a car, yeah. Okay.
A bunch of us get together, and we had church programs, and and we had what we called Christian Endeavor, and that was every Sunday evening. And young people would go to different houses and have our program, and that was fun. So met him there. We all went there. They were still living. Well, they moved back to Copeland in 1930. He moved back in 1930 after he graduated in 1929, and then we just were a young group together,
So what changes have you seen in Copeland? What in business and Main Street over the years?
Ooh. Well, when we moved back to Copeland from Dodge in 1946, the Alexander store was still on the corner, and then there was a hardware store, Johnson Hardware Store, and there was the bowling, not the bowling alley, but I guess they called it a pool hall. I don't know. As a descriptor name as I
Every
always,
town
yeah.
needs a pool yeah. hall.
Anyway, it was a recreational place where they could go play pool and dominoes. Men, mostly men went, a few women. But anyway, my husband worked there before we got married some. And he also worked for Stebbins store hauling ice before we were married. Stebbins grocery store was still here. Then it closed. Can't remember what year it closed. But anyway.
Copeland had a hardware store, a pool. Mm-hmm. Copeland had a hardware store, a pool hall.
Oh, yeah, in the early.
Nice grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Well, at one time, there was three grocery stores and four or five filling stations. And a little trailer camp, and then they had a little houses built for railroad workers up next by the railroad. There was, I don't remember how many rooms was in that. And there was two lumber yards. We had a pretty good sized town.
You had a thriving town, didn't you?
And one insurance office and a bank. Finally got a bank, And so, yeah, it was a pretty lively little town.
It was. It was. I was afraid you wouldn't have had anything to do here, but you did. You had a lot of things to do. Yeah. And then the school was just that big brick building built in the 1920s?
That was the high school.
High school, okay.
Yeah.
And I taught for about 5 years here at the high school in the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that building. Did you put on plays? Because there was a stage, I know.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, when I was a freshman in high school, they senior class put on a show called Daddy Long Legs.
Okay.
If you remember the story about...
There was a book. I remember reading a book years ago of Daddy
Long
Legs.
And they had to have some help from the other classes because they needed some orphan children. So I was one of the orphan children.
So you decided to be an orphan child,
huh? The funny little humor thing about it was my sister, just older than me, she was the matron of the school.
Okay.
So I can still picture this. We were silly. Anyway, whenever she went to scold me, we would giggle.
She couldn't.
We never got that scene down to where we could present it.
She couldn't do it with a straight face.
No, I couldn't either. I'd look at her and we both just burst out laughing. The teacher was very unhappy with us for a few times.
You ruined play practice. But
believe it or not, we came through it straight that night we gave it. So that was a fun thing. Mm-hmm. That's one of the fun things I remember about my high school.
Now, girls didn't play sports in high school days.
No, we didn't have them until... But you know, it was strange. My older sister played when she... They had a girls' basketball team when she was in high school, and she graduated probably in the early 20s.
Really?
Late 20s.
I wonder why she got to have...
I don't know. They finally just cut it out. No, there wasn't any basketball or anything for... And there was no football during my years. And
would they have cut it out during the Depression because of the costs or travel costs?
Well, it
or
might
something?
Have been. I don't know. They just didn't have it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Another experience during that cooling down of the Depression. When I was a senior, we had what we called senior day, and we could go somewhere. The class was dismissed for the day, so we decided we'd go to the fish hatchery at near Pratt.
In Pratt, I've been there.
And during our traveling over there, the wind came up and the dust came up, and I and two other girls and another teacher was with the school superintendent in his car. Of course, we had to take cars. We didn't have any buses.
How many people were there in your senior class? Do you remember?
11.
11, okay.
So we were traveling there, and as we made a turn off, it was pretty dusty, and we just got over a railroad track, and swish, a train went by.
It just barely made it.
Yes. But our driver...
Did your heart drop?
Nobody said a word. We just was... I don't think we realized that, what it was. The kids, us girls, I don't think realized what it was, because... He drove over and stopped, and he was just shaking all over. Now, we had to sit there for a little bit.
For him to get back himself
back
together.
Yeah, so he could get his, you know.
Yeah.
But I said, boy, the Lord was with us that day.
He was.
So that was another experience I had in my senior in high school that I have never forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it at the time until I thought about it, you know, mm-hmm. and saw him shaking so badly. But there was three of us in the back seat, and we just sat there. No one said a word. I don't know whether, I never did ever ask the other girls if they really realized what happened or not.
Maybe they did, watching him, watching his reaction.
Yeah.
In the article that the Montezuma Press did when you got ready to retire from writing, they you told a story about your sister learning to drive.
Yeah,
do you want to talk about that? Yeah.
Well, I think I've got the picture of it over there. Let me show it to you.
Okay.
You want to turn that off so mm-hmm. I get it?
I will.
The car was a Maxwell.
Uh-huh.
But on the back of that picture, it says something different. Kind mm-hmm. of a, can't really make
it's
it out. Kensel?
Old Kensel car.
Kensel.
And then it says Maxwell with curtains, no windows.
That's what I put on there.
Oh,
but
okay.
That's what I remembered him saying it was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a Kensel.
I don't either. But I don't know where my dad got that. Somebody must have been coming through the country and one and needed money and just bought it.
Mm-hmm.
He bought it. But I don't know, remember what they did with it.
Was this the first car that you remember your family having? Or?
It was the first car I remember being in,
okay.
So I guess it was, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I can't remember if you cranked it. Evidently, you had to crank it with a crank.
Well, I know you did a lot of
those. There wouldn't
those.
Be no battery in it, no,
uh-huh.
no key or anything. Yeah.
And so your sister decided she was going to learn how to drive in the
yeah.
pasture?
What
was,
yeah.
Who had to crank the car for
well, she,
that?
She would have had to.
She did? Okay.
Oh, yeah, I was too little.
And then so she just took you along for the ride in the
yeah,
pasture?
Yeah. I guess that's the only thing I can remember, that I was in the car and that we were bouncing all over the pasture and the curtains were flapping in the windows. And I couldn't believe it.
I'll bet that was
they rolled down here, but I can remember that they were down when we were in the car, too. This picture may have been taken at a different time.
Do those curtains,
I mean,
when they flap, do they hit you in the face or anything?
No,
or?
They had straps where you fastened them under.
Oh, okay.
It was fastened up here, and then they had straps that fastened down here.
Uh-huh.
So you could leave, put them up or bring them down.
Right.
Okay. I can remember that.
That was probably pretty vivid.
That was pretty fascinating for
uh-huh.
me. I don't remember now how old I was, but I wasn't very
old. You said your sister was quite a bit older than you.
Yeah, she was. I was number 8, and she was, let's see, brother. She was number 3 out of 8 of us. She was number 3 out of 8 of us.
And there were
eight people
in your family, 8 children.
Born in Copeland, rather in Missouri. My family came from Missouri.
So you were, was there a hospital or a doctor's office, or were you born at home?
No, I think I was born in a home. In,
okay.
In 1900s early, there was, I think, a doctor here,
uh-huh.
but I don't remember where his office, if he had an office, or maybe just worked out of his home. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. That was probably pretty normal to be born at home
oh,
in those
yes,
days,
yeah.
wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, a lot of babies born here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, times have changed since your school days in Copeland. How do you think it's different for kids nowadays growing up and going to school than it was for you?
Much, much different now compared to what it was when I was in high school, when I was in grade school. We had mainly the four basic lessons was arithmetic and I can't think what do you call it?
Do you have reading, writing?
Reading and writing and...
Did you have a science?
What?
A science class? Or
no.
Government?
We studied geography.
Oh, okay.
That
okay.
was, yeah, uh-huh. geography. Uh-huh. And everybody had to do penmanship.
Okay.
And spelling. Yeah, we did have spelling matches, and we'd go to Cimarron for spelling matches.
So they had like and a spelling bee. I think they still do that.
Yeah, uh-huh. yeah. I did receive a certificate at Cimarron for spelling and one for penmanship.
Okay.
When I was in grade school, and I don't. Didn't go when I was in high. We didn't have it. But I don't think I'm in high school. Spelling bees in high school, mm-hmm. just mostly grade school here then. But yeah, that was, and the boys had basketball and football.
Okay.
But they didn't have. There was no, not football, basketball and baseball.
But
they
no
played baseball
then.
In the spring and uh-huh. and till school was out.
Uh-huh.
And but. They didn't have baseball here in. Pardon me. They didn't have football here. I think it was started in 1936. After I graduated.
Okay, and Copeland played 8-man football, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they did for a while.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then now the high school is closed and kids go over to Montezuma.
Yeah, that
right?
We merged with Montezuma, I think, in 1991.
Okay.
The junior high is here, and each school had their own separate kindergarten through fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And then the junior high is in Copeland and the high school's in Montezuma.
That's kind of a good way to do it.
Yes.
Because you still
well, our high school was down so low that they couldn't afford to. They were just going to close it. They wasn't going to even try to operate it. And then they got together with Montezuma's, and their enrollment had gone down too. So they merged on that, and it's just worked out great ever since.
Sharon McCoy took me to see the building after they'd fixed it because I hadn't been back since I'd taught here in the 80s.
Oh,
and it really is nice facilities.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, Sylvia, is there anything else that we should have talked about that I didn't even ask you that you'd like to talk about?
Well, there was one really bad snowstorm that Copeland had. And I think it was in 1956. The snow was so deep, it was clear above the rooftops. We had a blizzard for 3 days here.
Wow.
And my husband had gone to Hutchison to some basketball tournament with a friend, and it missed Hutchison, so he didn't get to witness it till he got home. But they were, yeah, he was, it was deep enough that there was a semi parked in front of Nelson Implement Company's place. All you could see of it was the exhaust pipe that was up. It was completely covered.
Oh, my goodness.
It was just snowed in completely.
Uh-huh. Was this when you were running the restaurant?
Uh-huh. Yeah. One of my waitresses that would come in after school, mm-hmm. I just kept her there with me. And next morning, the people that got stranded here, they were able to... If the family didn't feed them for, a lot of people were stranded and families took families in mm-hmm. to wait the storm out. And so a few of the gentlemen that was on that truck found a place on Main Street to stay in a house.
Just someone's house.
Uh-huh. And they came to the cafe then, and I served them.
You were still cooking.
Yeah, I was still cooking and still, you know.
Who shoveled the walks so that they could get in?
Well, I think they all took part in that. They just kind of kept a little place open to get into the cafe because they knew they could have food and coffee and stuff. So
that was a welcome thing to.
Oh yes, yes, yeah. But that was the deepest snow that I'd ever witnessed in Copeland.
I've never heard of anything.
They could walk from one building to the other. The snow was that deep, and it was just everywhere. Yeah.
It probably took a while to melt.
Yeah, and then they hauled it out, you know, the street so the cars could get it. It took a while. Yeah.
It's a big weather event.
Yes.
Yeah. If you could give advice to young people growing up nowadays, maybe they're just teenagers, what kind of advice would you give?
Oh my, gotta think on that one. I didn't raise any children, so I have no idea what parents have to go through. The thing that carried me through.
All the tough times.
I'm trusting, proverb, you know, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding, and all thy ways follow him, he will direct your path. Mm-hmm. That's been my scripture all my life. Okay. And I think that, of course, there's a lot of times I slipped. As we all do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really think that I would say for him to learn about the Lord and to follow him mm-hmm. is the main thing. And just to be honest with everybody and be honest with themselves and not tell lies or go to the point where they steal and you know, lose control of what they do. Being courteous and kind, forgiving, all those good things.
I hear those good things about you, so well, I believe you've lived that.
I've tried to do that mm-hmm. for a good number of years, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's pretty difficult, but other times it isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Sylvia, thank you for letting me talk to you.
You're very welcome.